Well, please open your Bibles again back to Psalm 121, Psalm 121 on page 622 of the NIV. And this evening we shall consider the whole of this psalm. Where do you find your help coming from on your life journey? Occasionally, we see a person on their life journey. We are given a special view into their world at a precise moment in time. And occasionally, at a critical moment, that person will look up as if searching for extra help and inspiration. On TV earlier this year, I had the privilege of watching Novak Djokovic become the Wimbledon tennis champion. And if you follow tennis, you will know that his journey to the final was really, really tough. And in the final itself, Djokovic really struggled to cope with the supremacy, the beauty of Roger Federer on a tennis court. He is a great athlete, and Djokovic struggled. And as Djokovic was struggling, he looked up and he was speaking out loud. And I remember he spread his arms wide, holding the tennis racket, and his mouth was moving. He was talking to somebody or something. He was making an appeal, looking up. I'd love to have known who Djokovic was speaking to. What was he appealing to at that point? In our life journey, who do we appeal to when we need help? Many people, we all know this because we've been around in life long enough now, many of us know that the world out there will use the pleasure and the treasure that it devises in order to get by. But these things, the Bible reminds us, and we know for ourselves from our own experiences, we know that that pleasure and treasure does not last. It will not sustain us forever. So where should we go for sustained help that will never fail? Well, brothers and sisters, the first truth is that we go to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That is where we go. Now, in the context that we have before us this evening, our psalm has a title, and that title is A Song of Ascents. We see that at the top of the psalm, A Song of Ascents. And this psalm is one of 15 psalms that has this title. And the important part of this title is the word ascent. It means to go up, or if you like, go on a journey. And we've heard about a journey this evening that our sister will be taking beginning this Friday. So what was the journey in biblical times? Well, the Old Testament tells us that three times a year, every Jewish male was to journey to God's sanctuary, wherever it was located. And this was done so that the men could appear before the Lord and celebrate one of three different feasts with an offering. And those feasts were the Passover. So we know that the Passover was celebrating the liberation from slavery in Egypt. Another festival might have been the Festival of Weeks. So that's when the nation came together to celebrate the summer harvest in Israel. Or the Feast of Tabernacles, where the people remembered God's provision for the nation as they journeyed for 40 years through the wilderness. Jerusalem became the designated city in which to celebrate these festivals and others during the reign of King David. Now, David's hometown was actually a place called Hebron, but he wanted to unite the 12 tribes of Israel in a different place. And by God's providence and will and direction, David chose Jerusalem. And David sealed the city's religious status, if you like, by bringing the Ark of the Covenant inside Jerusalem's walls. And that was really big for the people, very symbolic. And so the people travelled to Jerusalem, singing songs of ascent to sustain them as they journeyed up to the holy city to worship God. So, with our introduction and our context complete, we now need to study the text itself. So, this evening we have four headings to help us as we work through this psalm. Number one is help. Number two is persevering. Number three is covering. And the final title or heading is keeping. So, heading one, help. Let's look at verse one. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Now, there are a number of different suggestions about this opening line to the psalm. Some say that the mountains of verse 1 represent the last climb up to the holy city. Jerusalem is in sight, and as the pilgrim is making his way up towards the city, they're looking up and they're drinking in that sight. The end of the journey has come. In a wider context, other people suggest that the mountains may also represent the serious threats to the pilgrim during the journey to the holy city. You have to remember, some pilgrims would have been traveling for weeks in order to get to Jerusalem. And that journey back then was dangerous. So the mountains would have been like a hiding place for bandits that would have been looking down on their victims as they walked through the valley below. And these bandits would have shown no mercy on the people that they fell upon. So the pilgrim is facing a physical danger as they journey towards Jerusalem. And combined with the physical threat, there was also spiritual danger too. The mountains or the high places were often used by pagans for worship. And there they worshipped false gods, many gods. So now not only must the pilgrim look out for himself and protect himself against a physical threat, the pilgrim is now having to deal with temptation along the way, temptation to abandon that difficult journey and to worship a false god. Now, however we want to interpret the mountains of verse 1, what we know is this. The pilgrim's dangers then are just like our dangers today. We face an enemy that seeks to frustrate every step we are taking down that road up towards the holy heavenly city. Satan knows he has but a short time. God Almighty, Christ, has declared that to be true. And Satan is at work, working as fast as he can. And therefore, when we step back outside, he will be working as hard as he can to trip us up and lay us flat on our faces on that pilgrimage, on that journey to heaven. And so when we feel the heat coming onto us, we do cry out with the psalmist and we ask, Lord, where does my help come from? We look up and we appeal to heaven. Where will my help come from as I am making my journey toward your eternal kingdom? Verse 2. A difficult question, a testing question, and now a wonderful answer for us. Verse 2. Well, my help comes from the Lord. And look at the qualification of our helper. Look at that qualification. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It is premier. It is fantastic. It is wonderful. The psalmist now is thinking beyond the threat and temptation of the mountain. The eyes are looking past the danger and the temptation on the journey. When the psalmist says at this point, my help comes from the Lord, what the psalmist is literally saying is that I am saved by the Lord on my journey as I make my way. And the Lord is the maker of heaven and earth. That is who is saving me. That is who is saving you as you walk that way. Now, I want to stop in a very small, brief lay-by and talk about this phrase, the Lord. I can't ignore it. When we see the word Lord in capital letters, we've been given a proper name, a name that should make us sit up and pay attention. Now, the Hebrew word for Lord is Yahweh, a name that we're familiar with and that we understand here. And the name of God is built on that word. That name is I Am. Powerful, it resonates. And in Psalm 121, in the new NIV that I've got in front of me, I Am is mentioned five times. So who is I Am? Well, that could be a sermon in itself, but it won't be tonight. So in summary, I Am has no beginning, no end. I Am is totally independent. I Am sustains this universe. I Am is completely just. I Am is constant and wonderfully. I Am does not change. So, as we join the psalmist and we look up for help, what is I Am, the great God of heaven and earth? What is I Am doing? I Am, to begin with, for us, the pilgrim, is constantly awake and heading to, then follows, persevering, persevering. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. I Am will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, the beginning of verse 3 is probably not about a physical slipping over, literally when your feet go from underneath you. Probably not about that. The idea of a slipping foot appears in a number of different places in Scripture, and the way in which the Bible uses this phrase is to imply a persevering, hence the second heading, persevering. When a person is about to enter an overwhelming spiritual test, when a person is having to deal with personal sin or weakness, or when a person is being attacked by an enemy, or under oppression. This is the idea of God interacting with us. But, and it's a valid but, you might be sitting there and thinking, well, this doesn't look like my life because I know that things go wrong. And you're right. The reality is that in life, our faith does slip. We do lose our footing. We go down. So what should we think at this point? Well, if we look at the psalm carefully, and we'll go through the psalm to the end, we'll see that Psalm 121 does not make any promise about our faith not slipping. It doesn't say that you are going to go through this life as a disciple of Jesus and it will be sweetness and light. You know this life is tough. Christ himself said it to be true. And by our own will, this broken world and what it brings to our door, it tests our faith keenly. But even as we are slipping, and this is the beauty of I Am, we are promised that I Am will not let go of us. That is the constancy of I Am. He will not let us go. Even if we slip, he does not. He is rock solid and sure. And how does he do this for us as we pilgrim? God never slumbers or goes to sleep. When I was a police officer up in London, there were occasions when I had to look after people that were so seriously unwell for different reasons that we had to have somebody with them the whole time. It's what we call a constant watch. And when you're doing a constant watch in the middle of the night, the very time when we should all be in bed and asleep, it is one of the hardest things to do, particularly if the person has calmed down and they themselves are resting. You still have to watch them. And I remember asking other colleagues to do that job for me, and I was watching them. And they are really struggling because they don't have big eyes and big ears and a bushy tail. They're not designed for nighttime work. Do you know what I mean? It's really hard work. But I Am the constant, the one that never fails for us. He is awake. And this is how we persevere on our journey down that road. The constant watch of I Am is yours for free. And so with that truth echoing in our hearts, in what other ways does the Lord help us as we journey? Well, so far we know that our source of help is the maker of heaven and earth. We know that God is always watching over us and helping us to persevere. Next, God comes in close to cover us. And this leads us to our third heading, covering, covering. Let's look at verses 5 and 6 together. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. So now we're starting to get a sense of how close the Lord wants to be with us as we're on this journey. Now, in Bible times, the right hand was considered to be the working hand. And I say this with respect to people that may be ambidextrous or just left-handed. We still love you. Okay. Son, wherever he is. He's not here. So the right hand, okay, is the body bit that hits the day first, if you like. Okay, this is the picture that we need to develop. And as you are meeting the heat of the day, the pressure is coming upon you as you journey for him, should our hands be flapping about? Should they be going a little bit crazy, a little bit wild? Hold them steady, is what the psalmist is saying here. Because I am the maker of heaven and earth, is at your right hand, like a shade. I wish I had an umbrella, but if you imagine, and we'll have plenty of practice in the months ahead, raise an umbrella above your head and walk about with it. See how close that umbrella is as you go. It stays with you wherever you go, backwards, forwards, sideways, left or right. It is an umbrella of care as you journey past the mountain of temptation and danger. It is an umbrella of care as you battle and struggle on the slopes of that mountain. God wants to be this close to you as you journey for him. And not just close by, as it were, in the heat of the day when everything is building up and coming upon you. God wants to be our shade under the cool of the night, under the chilly light of the moon. The psalmist paints a picture of opposites here at this point. Under the cover of darkness, when things are quieter, calculated plans drawn up to harm, to undermine, to bring you down, to put you on your face on that road. God is at our right hand so that we shall not be harmed. And we enter each night and then the forthcoming day, Monday, with the Lord himself covering us. This is the intensity of God. This is the intensity of the Lord's presence in our pilgrim journey. And in Bible times, Psalm 121 would have been a much needed blessing in the hearts of those going up to the holy city of Jerusalem. Think back, see how this psalm would have resonated in the lives of men like Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah, as each man is leading a remnant back from Babylon to Jerusalem after 70 years in exile. These leaders would have had a difficult, a scary going up that would have tested every step of their 900-mile journey. And that was before they'd even started to contemplate and comprehend the rebuilding process of the city and the temple ruined before them. But what a mighty promise this psalm would have been. And as their journey was covered by the Lord then, so how does it work for us today? Well, this brings us to our fourth heading, keeping. Let's look at verses 7 and 8 together. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The totality of the Lord's care is announced once more. These verses are saying the same thing as verses 3 and 4, but just in a slightly different way. The wonderful truth is, no person, no institution can make a promise like this, as we find in verses 7 and 8. And how does I am keep you from all harm? I am saw you all before the beginning of time. He knew the moment you were made. He knows the day you were born. And it is by his sovereign power alone that his arm has moved, that his spirit has been activated. And you, dear brothers and sisters of this fellowship, have been able to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your King and as your Saviour. Amen. He will be the one who calls you home. There is no other person on the face of this earth that can do this. Every moment of our lives watched by God. Literally, our coming and our going. And if we are in Jesus, believe this, it is a caring watch that shall never end. So, how do we tie all this information together by way of conclusion? At the beginning of this message tonight, I asked you to think about what is sustaining you in this life journey that you are on. Is it the Lord through Jesus Christ? As we pilgrim to his city, there will be times when we cry out at the base of our mountain, and we will cry out on the slopes of those mountains too. It will happen. Are we alone when we lift our eyes up and ask, where does our help come from on this journey? Are we alone? We're not alone. And this is so important to remember and take with you as the new week begins. Why aren't we alone? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has also made a journey for us. When Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was outside Jerusalem, positioned to the northeast of Jerusalem. When he was arrested, he was escorted back into Jerusalem. You see how the journey to our salvation begins in real time. And his journey to Caiaphas's house, the place where he first stopped, was about a mile from Gethsemane, give or take. And crucially, when you look at the map and look at the approximate route that would have been taken, that journey involved an ascent. Literally, Jesus and that arrest party climbed the slopes of a place called the Kidron Valley, and into the lower part of Jerusalem. Jesus has been on that journey. He has made that ascent for you. And as Jesus went up the slopes of the Kidron Valley, high on his right-hand side, overlooking that journey, was his Father's house, the temple, overlooking the path that our Savior was taking. And at no time in history has there been a greater ascent than that? For just a few hours later, as that journey unfolded, now to the northwest side of the city, crucified Jesus became the Lamb of God. And when we see that phrase, we know that Christ became the perfect sacrifice for us before God. And for all who believe in his name. As Jesus made that journey, how much did he need the truth of Psalm 121 to resonate with power and conviction in his heart? Brother and sister, as you journey through this life with a kingdom heart, look beyond the mountain that threatens you. Look beyond the mountain that tempts you or represents the unknown. Lift your eyes to Yahweh in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is only Jesus that can watch over you now and forevermore. Amen.